via satellite from Hollywood and New York, it's Rockline, the show where you interview the biggest stars in rock and roll. How you doing, everybody? I'm Jim Ladd. Rockline is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Remember, there's no wrong way to eat a Reese's. And by AT&T, the right choice. Tonight, we're extremely pleased to present a very special edition of Rockline with Mr. Paul McCartney. So get your questions ready and call us toll-free at 1-800-344-ROCK. That's 1-800-344-7625. One number, toll-free, from anywhere in the United States and Canada. If you grew up in the 1960s, you and your friends were probably devoted fans of this man and his music. If you were a parent of a teenager at the time, you probably thought that tonight's guest was the Antichrist, or at least one of the devil's disciples. It was a time of great, you're welcome, Paul. It was a time of great contrasts and monumental changes. But for those who heard the message of the music, it was also a time of unbridled joy and youthful optimism. Whether you were dropping acid and listening to Sgt. Pepper, or you hated everything the Beatles stood for, this man and the music he's made over the last three decades has changed your life forever. He is the most honored and successful songwriter in the history of recorded music. But far more importantly, he is here today to carry on that promise of hope which John, Paul, George, and Ringo made to us during the Summer of Love and that we still carry in our hearts today. It is my great honor to welcome Paul McCartney to Rockline. Paul, how are you?
Fine. After that introduction, Jim, well, even finer.
Well, thank you. Congratulations. I'm doing great, man. I'm out here in Los Angeles, we should explain to people, and you are in that sewer called, you are in the Big Apple, aren't you?
Listen, we're in New York, and we're having a fun time.
Yeah, good. Well, yeah. Congratulations on the release of Off the Ground. This is your 20th album since leaving the Beatles.
Is it?
We've counted, Paul. Yes, it is number 20.
Uh-huh. Who's counting?
Somebody's counting, Paul.
Yeah.
This album, if I can start us here, seems to have a bit more of an edge to it and certainly a little more grit as far as the subject matter. Yes?
Well, yeah, maybe. You know, I mean, with the band, we've been together a little while now, you know, and it's always nice when you kind of know each other as well as we do now, to get in the studio and just play, you know, instead of kind of layering all the sound. So that's what we did this time. The songs, yeah, I think maybe because of that, are a little bit more rocking than we've been doing of late. And the subject matter, well, you know, you can never really tell what you're going to write about, you know, the way I do it. Anyway, I don't plan it. I just sit down and start twanging a guitar. And whatever I'm thinking about or whatever the mood is kind of comes out. So this time, yeah, there's a few there with a bit harder edge in the lyrics than normal.
There's also a great deal of optimism and hope and kind of looking toward the future as well, which I liked.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in these days when there's a lot of problems about, you know, it's easy to get down. You know, I think a lot of people, I mean, I meet a lot of people who say, oh, geez, man, you know, where's it going and all this stuff. So that when you make a record, you know, you realize you're going to affect a lot of people. And if you add to that down mood, well, there's no telling where it's going to go, you know. And I've never been a great believer in that. You know, as you say, with the Beatles, it was always kind of all you need is love. Or with John, it was like, give peace a chance, you know. There was always some message of hope, really, you know. So when I came to put this together, I didn't really think about it, to tell you the truth. It was only after we'd actually made the album that I started to looking at it and thinking, is there any kind of theme, you know, when we were putting them in order and stuff. And I started to find this theme of, yeah, come on, folks, you know, it may be bad, but hey, we can lick it, and there's hope for the future. So I'm glad that's in there.
I'll tell you, so am I. Being a baby boomer and an old hippie, it's wonderful to listen to some of these songs and the message. Let's hear one now that has to do with this particular subject. It's called "Hope of Deliverance." It's the first single. from the album Off the Ground. You're listening to Paul McCartney on Rockline.
I will always be hoping, hoping. You will always be holding, holding my heart in your hand. I will understand. I will understand.
No, that is not a song about a fishing expedition in the southern part of the United States. It is actually about faith and hope for deliverance from getting off the ground, which is what we're doing here tonight. So if you would like to speak with Paul McCartney, be sure to pick up the phone and call us on our toll-free AT&T number, 1-800-344-ROCK. That's 1-800-344-7625. Rockline and AT&T, the right choice.
Noise. When it comes to long-distance claims, there's a lot of it out there.
Drastic savings.
Well, AT&T would like to make something clear. Place for place, anywhere outside the U.S., the difference between AT&T and other major long-distance companies is no more than a penny. So now that price isn't the main issue, what should you pay attention to? Remember service? Quality? Listen to the whole story. AT&T. Per minute comparison of direct dial basic rate schedules.
How Stephanie Becker eats a Reese's peanut butter cup.
I like to eat one of my Reese's now. Mmm, delicious. And then I fold the wrapper over the other Reese's peanut butter cup, and I save it for later. Cool, it's later.
There's no wrong way.
That was the longest I ever waited.
To eat a Reese's. Reese's peanut butter cups.
Ride your truck rental. Rent a truck. Get a college basketball jacket free.
Yeah, I'd like to rent a truck and get one of those free college jackets.
Okay, what size are you looking for?
Extra large.
We have a 24-footer.
Ma'am, I'm only 6'2".
It has automatic transmission.
Does it have a zipper?
Door locks.
How about pockets?
Holds 1,500 cubic feet.
I'll take it.
Good. Now, what color do you want?
Yellow.
Smart choice.
The Ryder College Basketball Jacket Giveaway. See your dealer for details or call 1-800-GO-RYDER. Offer expires March 14th. $4.95 postage and handling required. Limit one per consumer rental.
No little cinnamon gum freshens breath longer than Big Red.
Kiss a little longer. Hang together longer. Stay close a little longer. Longer with Big Red. Big Red.
If it's not Big Red, it's not enough to last right through it.
Kiss a little longer. Hug a little longer. Hold tight a little longer. Longer with Big Red. Big Red.
Rockline.
Hey, have you heard about Tiger Schulman's Karate and Fitness Center? This is a fabulous place. It's not like a gym where you just get assistance maybe one time for your first workout and then you're on your own. At Tiger Schulman's Karate and Fitness Center, you're going to improve physically for sure, mentally, of course, and maybe most importantly, spiritually. This is an adult program that's designed with the busy person in mind. And each session at Tiger Schulman's Karate and Fitness Center gives you the maximum overall workout in the least amount of time possible. Some of the best benefits include cardiovascular conditioning, muscle toning, weight control, stress relief, self-defense. That's important, too. Just call one of the 17 Tiger Shulman Karate and Fitness Centers at 1-800-52-TIGER and ask about their introductory program. You see, they have locations all throughout New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Connecticut. The number again, 1-800-52-TIGER. Karate is what they teach, but it is not all that you'll learn. 92.3 K-Rock is classic rock.
Just a reminder that later on in the show, I'll give you details on how one of you and a guest can win an all-expense-paid trip to Hollywood to see a future Rockline show live, plus tickets to Universal Studios and three nights hotel accommodations, all courtesy of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Remember, there's no wrong way to eat a Reese's. Let's go right to the telephones now. And Rick is calling from Atlanta, Georgia, WKLS 96 Rock. Rick, you're on the air with Paul McCartney.
Hello, Paul.
Hey, Rick, how you doing, man?
All right, love the new stuff, man. The fans
Thank
on
you.
The run are ready to hit the road with you again. You still remember the big N-O-W signs from the 17 shows?
Yeah, man, let's go.
Yeah. My question is about the book project that we've heard you're working on with Barry Miles and Mark Lewison about, like, the studio side of your career. How's that developing, and is it going to cover information on all the great B-sides like Daytime, Nighttime Suffering and Girls' School and new stuff?
Okay, well, I think the your information's got a bit muddled there. I mean, it's not surprising, really, because, you know, you just got a little snippet from here and snippet from there. The book with Barry Miles isn't really about studio. It's more about a period in the 60s when us guys came down from Liverpool, and it doesn't deal with our early life and our early career in Hamburg and that. It deals more with me specifically arriving in London and kind of living on my own in a bachelor pad in London. This is before I got married, Linda, don't worry. And, you know, it was a great period for me because I was kind of experiencing a lot of things that I hadn't seen in Liverpool. I was seeing, like, the theatre, I was seeing art exhibits, hearing crazy music by people like Stockhausen and all this kind of crazy stuff. So it was a very kind of artsy period for me. And Barry Miles was there for a lot of it. We did things like, you know, opened like a bookshop and an art gallery, and he did a thing called International Times, which was quite a, I think myself, it's like a forerunner of Rolling Stone magazine. It was like the first kind of hippie newspaper. So we got into a lot of fun stuff then, and he asked me if it'd be okay to kind of write about that period. So we're dealing just about all the stories from that period. And in fact, I'm not really sure where you got the information about a studio book, although it's a pretty interesting idea. That isn't in the pipeline.
All right. Well, I want to thank Rick for calling in.
Thanks, Rick.
By the way, Paul, we enjoyed all of that stuff about the art and everything, but I think we really wanted to know about the bachelor pad. However, that's your choice.
You want to know about that?
Absolutely.
You got a few hours sometime?
Well, now, Paul.
I'll tell you when you're 21.
Okay, thank you very much. That will be in a couple of years. Let's go to Chris now at WRXL in Richmond, Virginia. Chris, you're on the air.
How you doing, Paul?
Hi, Chris. Great, man. How are you?
I'm fine, making it. What I wanted to know was that the Beatles actually paved the way for technology and modern recording, and I wanted to know how you felt with the advent of synthesizers and digital drum machines and everything, how you felt about the new technology now as opposed to when the Beatles had to experiment and create new sounds with, like, Sgt. Pepper's and the recording of the old stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mean, I always kind of think it's great the way stuff moves on, and I'm always interested in, like, what the new thing is. Sometimes you can get a little wound up in the new thing just because it's new, you know, and you go through it for a couple of years and you start thinking, which I think is kind of happening now a bit. People start thinking, well, you know, synth's okay and stuff, but what about the real natural sound? And a lot of people are moving back to more natural sounds. But I think it's interesting, all that stuff. You know, I've got time for that. Our keyboard player, Wicks, you know, uses that kind of thing if it's called for. But the difference between now and a few years ago is that you don't just automatically use it. You use it if it's only if it's called for. The rest of the time, you might just also go to like a thing like an accordion, you know, which is like an ancient kind of instrument. Or Linda sometimes plays a little Indian harmonium. We're a bit more into the acoustic stuff. But the funny thing was, with all that synthesizer stuff, when we were working in the early days with the Beatles, this thing called the Mellotron arrived in the studio. And we said, what's that, man? He said, well, what it is it's got like any instrument you want, which is, it was the forerunner of the synth. And we were saying, God, this is never going to get past the musicians' union. You know, people are going to, they're going to say it's stealing everybody's jobs and that. But in fact, they didn't even notice it. They were a bit unhip at the time. So things like the beginning of Strawberry Fields, those flutes, you know, that little flute thing at the front of that, that was played on this Mellotron. And we just marveled at the technology then. I mean, now I've still got one in my studio in England. And now it's an antique. I mean, it should be in a museum, really, this thing, you know, because it's like ancient. In fact, what they do, instead of using digital technology, which wasn't around at the time, they got a little tape, and you hit the keyboard, you hit the key, and it sort of plays for about 11 seconds, like a flute doing that note. For 11 seconds. Once 11 seconds is over, you're out of luck. And then that's it, you know. But it was great. We messed around with then what was the new technology. And I still enjoy messing around with whatever's around now. But I think the secret is not to get totally overtaken, you know, like by the tidal wave of new technology. You got to pick and choose. I think, you know, when you think about the way we made Sgt. Pepper, which is a pretty complex layered record, but we made it on four tracks, which now seems impossible, you know. People say, four tracks? How could you get like Day in the Life and an orchestra and all the band and all the vocals on it? Well, we did it just by reducing down. We did the four tracks and then reduced three of them to what was virtually like a single, like a mono mix, because we worked in mono then, do you believe? I mean, this sounds like, you know, Neanderthal, but it's true. And the only difference between now and then was that we just had to make the decisions earlier, which I actually don't think was a bad idea. You had to get the relationship of how the drum kit was going to sound. Instead of now, I mean, I'll use like 10 tracks on a drum kit, and you leave it open until you finally mix, and then you get the drums. I don't think it sounds that much better now than some of Ringo's playing, you know. But the trick was, we just had to decide earlier. We couldn't put it off. Like now you hear people say, don't worry, we'll get in the mix, man. Don't worry, we'll get in the mix. Then we couldn't wait till the mix. We just had to say, okay, drums are going to sound like that. Put that down. Bass is going to sound like that. So put them two together, you know. So we stuffed the bass and that. In fact, I mean, George Martin just did a program on the making of Sgt. Pepper. And it was wild. He showed me some of the old four tracks off Pepper. And we've got, like, me and John, we're on a guitar track doing the vocal. And John's, like, doing the backing vocals on my vocal track. That's not heard of these days. Nobody lets anyone on their vocal track anymore. But we just had to squeeze everything in. And if we had, like, half an inch, you know, you say, okay, we'll get the backing vocals in there. We just squeezed it all in. And as I say, you just had to know what you wanted, which, in fact, if you think about it, was quite a good thing. Well, you just, you know.
One of the things that came out of that was the incredible feeling that came off of those records, because it wasn't overdone and overdone and overdone and done with synthesizers, which is what we're coming back to today. And let me just play the title cut from Off the Ground here, a record that was recorded in the way you were talking about with Sgt. Pepper. You're listening to Rockline.
I'm
if they have this expression in England, but over here when a song really moves you, sometimes we talk about the goosebump factor, and I get that from that song. Thank you.
Cool.
Song about love and self-reliance. I like it. I like it.
Great. Thanks, man.
You spoke recently, and this really got to me, about the values of the 60s, and that it was a time when there was a lot more hope and optimism. And I want you to, if you would tell us in your own words, what you think are the most important and enduring values to come out of the 60s.
Well, you know, I mean, we'd all kind of lived through, like, the 50s and kind of, you know, our parents had, like, been in the war, the World War II and stuff. And for us, you know, we were suddenly, like, freed. We, like, got away from Liverpool. We were in a band, and we were kind of able to sort of do anything we wanted, think anything we wanted. And instead, you might think, you know, everyone would go crazy and just go, hey, man, let's just party all the time. But in actual fact, you used to sit around a lot and kind of talk with your friends and stuff. You know, you might get a little high on this stuff, but it was not in a bad way. You know, you'd sit around and you wouldn't just get wild and trash the place. You'd actually sort of sit around talking about this and about that. What do you think about this? And I think a lot of us sort of kind of discovered each other and discovered that we had a lot in common, and that, you know, by talking about, at the time, for instance, things like the Vietnam War, you know, when we came to the States, people said, whatever you do, don't mention the Vietnam War, man. They don't want to know, you know, it's bad news. So, like, the first press conference we went to, we said, and about the Vietnam War, you know, we just thought, well, you know, we knew a lot of the kids who were going to that war, who were the kids as they were at the time. And we knew them personally, and we knew they didn't want to go. And, hell, they were the same age as us. And we thought, God, if we were being drafted off to something like that, it'd just be like, forget it, you know. So we had a lot of sympathy with these guys, and used to sit around and talk and stuff. So, you know, it may sound silly, but things like peace, you know, got talked about a lot. And you call it now ecology. But just the idea of, like, the planet having a decent future instead of just some sort of terrible deterioration into, like, you know, something, I don't know, something like sort of Blade Runner gone mad kind of thing. So you used to sit around and have a lot of interesting chats, you know, till early in the morning and stuff. And I think just what I'd call kind of just good values. I think a lot of people came out of that with that. Okay, a lot of people OD'd and went over the top, and there was a lot of party aspect, and not everyone could handle that. But I think the people who could ride it and not get too crazy did come out of it thinking, look, you know, if we're going to raise our kids, we're not going to just send them off to get killed or cannon fodder. And we're going to try and talk to them. See, the other thing was this generation gap, which now I feel very lucky with my own kids. I can actually talk about anything, you know, literally, you know.
Right.
Whereas I couldn't talk to my dad. I remember saying to my dad, you know, well, what about, like, sex? Aren't you supposed to kind of tell us about the birds and the bees? He said, well, you know those dogs out in the street the other day?
Yeah.
I said, yeah. He said, well, you know, you're kidding. Get out of here. So you didn't exactly have kind of conversations that satisfied you. So I think, you know, a lot of just simple human values, like, you know, talking to your kids, loving each other, having time for people, just wanting it to work out instead of just lusting after this greed, you know, which kind of came back in a big way, I think, like in the 80s.
Amen.
You know.
And isn't it interesting that with the people that want to paint the 60s as some sort of hedonistic, drug-taking, free sex, here you are talking about family values and making the planet better. And that is, you know, and that's the perception that has been lost during the 80s of what the 60s were about. We'll talk more about... and I hope that we'll talk more about this, plus Paul's tree-hugging aspects, when Rockline continues.
anywhere.
Noise. When it comes to long-distance claims, there's a lot of it out there.
Drastic savings.
Well, AT&T would like to make something clear. Place for place, anywhere outside the U.S., the difference between AT&T and other major long-distance companies is no more than a penny. So now that price isn't the main issue, what should you pay attention to? Remember service? Quality? Listen to the whole story. AT&T. Per minute comparison of direct dial basic rate schedules.
I'm talking to Jim Nolan, who's sporting the new college basketball jacket he got free when he rented a Ryder truck. You chose from over 60 colleges, right, Jim?
Yeah, this is the Duke Blue Devil.
Very nice. So you rented a Ryder truck. Did you move?
No.
Transport something somewhere?
No.
Well, what'd you do with the truck?
Took my kid to school.
You rented a truck to take your kid to school?
I rented a truck to get the jacket.
You did?
Yeah, I think I'm going to collect them all.
You are?
The Ryder College Basketball Jacket Giveaway. See your dealer for details or call 1-800-GO-RYDER. Offer expires March 14th. $4.95 postage and handling required. Limit one per consumer rental.
No little cinnamon gum freshens breath longer than Big Red.
Kiss a little longer. Hang together longer. Stay close a little longer. Longer with Big Red. Big Red.
If it's not Big Red, it's not enough to last right through it.
Kiss a little longer. Hug a little longer. Hold tight a little longer. Longer with Big Red. Big Red.
Rock Line.
Hi there, sports fans. Tired of watching the big game on a little cathode ray tube? Then enter the Snapple and Snyder's of Hanover Sports Fantasy Sweepstakes, and you could win a weekend trip for two to any professional sporting event in the continental U.S. Sponsored by Snapple, makers of all-natural, real-brewed iced teas, juices, juice drinks, natural sodas, and Snap-Up sports drinks. They all have no artificial flavors. They come in 52 flavors, and they're all amazingly delicious. Ask anyone. Also brought to you by Snyder's of Hanover, makers of the number one selling all-natural sourdough pretzel, 100% fat-free, cholesterol-free, and guilt-free. Look for the Snapple and Snyder's in-store displays. Pick up an entry form and pick up some Snapple and Snyder's for good luck. The Snapple and Snyder's of Hanover Sports Fantasy Sweepstakes. Your chance to experience the thrill of victory without the agony of TV. No purchase necessary. All entries must be received by April 19, 1993. See official rules for details. Void where prohibited.
Make sure you join us this Monday night for a great double bill featuring Southern rockers Lynyrd Skynyrd and Dan Baird. Skynyrd's new album is called The Last Rebel, and Dan Baird's got perhaps the year's most aptly titled LP, Love Songs for the Hearing Impaired. That's Lynyrd Skynyrd and Dan Baird next Monday night on Rock.